Well, we would covet your prayers this morning. We feel like the Lord has given us some things, and we'd sure like Him to feed our souls with it and cause us to grow and prosper. I've looked at plants that are wilty, and their leaves are starting to curl up and everything. Sometimes we'll go in the greenhouse and see that, and I recognize they just need a little water. And you just water them for a couple hours, and it's for an hour or two, and in a little bit, they're just all perked back up. So I know we're a little bit like that, aren't we? We need the word of the Lord. We need the Lord to speak to us. We need His empowerment in our life. And when that happens, our life just comes alive in the Lord. It really does. Last week, we studied a little bit over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, where it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." That word quick, it means it's alive. And so we talked about that. We studied about that last week, that the word of God is more than just a written word in a book. It's alive and it's powerful. And it can change lives. And it can do so much. And so we just feel like there's a little more to that. And so if you'll give me a little space here, I want to lay a foundation for what we're thinking about this morning. You know, that word, it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, it can go where nothing else can. It can go down to the reason we do things and all of those things. But I'm thinking this morning about, yet again, the blessing that the Lord wants His Word to be in our lives. And so when we look over at Acts 5 and 19... I'm going to read a scripture, 19 and 20. It says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth." Now here was some of the disciples in the prison. I believe Peter was one of them here. And they thought things were well. We've got the word of God bound. We finally shut this guy up. But something happened, didn't it? And it says, "The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.'" And I've just been thinking about that through the week. All the words of this life. Go speak to the people all the words of this life. You know that the Lord has for us all the words of this life. There are a lot of things when you get to know people and you start working with people here and there, inside, outside the church, you find that there's a lot of needs. You really do. And, you know, people have come so far technologically. They've come so far in science. In so many ways, they've come so far. And yet, they're still no better off at all, it seems. Hardly, if any, in the ways that matter most. In being able to get along with our wife. In being able to relate to people. In being able to relate on the job and get to know people and control ourselves. And, you know, those things are important, aren't they? But the Word of God has something that meets, because it is not just a word, but it is alive. And it's able to meet all the needs of our life. It's all the words of this life. They're contained right here. And when they are enlivened to our soul, and when we believe, And when we allow it, the Lord wants to make it life-changing for us. I hope every one of us this morning can take in by faith the things that God has for you and me. Without the Lord illuminating our minds can't take it in. The scriptures tell us that. But by this word, we're given hope, aren't we, in life? Do you know when all the world is down and when great catastrophes happen, people start committing suicide. People begin to do strange things. They begin to, there's a lot of things that begin to happen. But you know, when you have hope in God, you know you have hope. There isn't any reason to give up hope because God is in control of all things. If our faith can take that in, and if our life can take it in, it will be that to us. We're told of the precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature of God. Do you know that we are told that in the Bible? We don't need to let anyone tell us that we can never get there. We can never be like the Lord. Well, I will tell you, there's great and precious promises in the Word of the Lord. And it's available to us today. And it's alive and it is powerful. It can change a life just like that of sin. It can take someone whose life is heavy-hearted with sin. They've done so many wrong things. And when we break ourselves upon the Lord and cry out to Him in faith, He can change our hearts in a moment. And suddenly we go and sin no more. The Lord is the only one able to do that. But He is. Do we count Him able this morning? We're told that we might know Him. We're told that Paul said that he counted all his religion that he had in the past as dung. That just manure. He just trusted in that. I'm being a good guy. You know what? We want to be a good guy, don't we? But if that's what we trust in, it's really shallow. But we can know the Lord, and He will make us into something respectable. He'll make us into an honorable vessel this morning. Do you know that that all these things come through the words of this life? They're available to you and me. I'm still laying a foundation, a pretty lengthy one this morning. But I'm thinking about the grace, the guidance that the Lord can and will give His people. You know that He has promised to be a guide to you and me? He has promised us that if we lack wisdom, that we can ask of Him and that He gives it to all men. How? A whole bunch. He says liberally. Do you know that is a promise from the Lord that He wants us to take? Now, we can rack our brains every day and never get there. But I'll tell you, we can get on our knees and get to know this Lord of this Word and get to know Him in our life, and it can be life-changing. He can give us the words of life written in our hearts, not on tables of stone, not just in pages in the Bible, but on our hearts. And the Lord wants to do that for us today. You know, He can give us power. Power to live right in a godly and in an ungodly place. He can give us power to be a witness of the grace of God. Now, I'll tell you, we all know that takes grace, doesn't it? It takes something from God. But He will do it for us if we'll let Him. You know, we might be able to inherit the promises of God through Him. We can inherit the promises. All the promises written in here are true. And amen to those that believe. You know the Lord wants us to inherit those promises? He has given us great and precious promises that we might not be tormented by the enemy in this life, but that we might be freed and that He might give us peace, that He might give us eternal life in our souls, that He might give us a hope that when we do pass from this life, that we have hope of eternal life. Do you know, that's a live hope in my life. That we might be filled with the fullness of His Spirit. Do you know that's not just something that Peter wrote about? That is something that God wants to give you and me in our lives today. He wants to fill our lives with the power of His Spirit in our life. Is that a distant dream, or is that something that we have found Him? Now we have know Him. Now He has filled our life. Now we do hear His voice. Now we do follow Him. And so this morning, I want to look at the scripture over in 2 Corinthians 1 and 19. Read this verse here, 19 through 22. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. You know, it's not slippery. It's not back and forth. It's not maybe. It's not sometimes. But it says here that it was that when they preached Jesus Christ among the people, it was yea. And He goes on to say, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, and to the glory of God by us. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Do you know this morning that word yea, I believe we could safely say it means that they shall all certainly be fulfilled, the promises of God. I think amen, we can say it's true, it's faithful, and it's certain this morning. And so when the Lord speaks to us, I want to challenge us this morning that we hear the Word of God, that we have a heart that yields to the Word of God, and that we have faith that believes in that. The last scripture that we read there says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, this is not talking about sealing like a jar of something. That it's talking about a king's signet. It's talking about a seal that you put on paper. We used to have a seal that we would put in fact, the school has a seal, and you crunch it down, and it embosses that, and then it's official. You can send that places, and that document has something official about it. Do you know that the scriptures tell us that we are sealed with and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts? Do you know what an earnest is? It's a down payment. It's something that there's more coming. There's more behind it. But you know, the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts is that sealing. It's that official thing that God wants to put in our lives. And I want to encourage us this morning, and this isn't all we're going to talk about by any means, just a little piece. But you know, this morning, we want to have the Spirit of the Lord. The apostles ask some there in the 8th chapter of Acts, have you received, or maybe it wasn't the 8th chapter at that time there, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I want to tell you something this morning. A fullness of consecration to the Lord and a fullness of giving ourselves to Him brings in our lives His will to us, which is that we receive in our lives, not something where we speak out of our head and all the, but something that makes our path gives glory to God. He told the apostles there, He said, you'll receive power after that you receive the Holy Ghost, and you'll be witnesses to me in all the world. Do you know that that's what the Holy Spirit does? He said He's going to come and He's going to guide you into all the truth. These promises are yea and amen to those that have given themselves completely to the Lord. And I want to encourage us today to begin searching ourselves. Lord, am I given completely to You? Is every corner Yours? Because the Lord won't inhabit 60% or 90% of our life. He has to have it all. That's our part. Can we buy it? No, but we can give ourselves to Him without any reserves. Lord, it's all yours. I want you to have it. I want you to have my life. I want you to work in my life. I want you to lead me in the path daily. I want you to lead me in that way that comes to know you. You know, the Lord wants to fill our lives this morning and give us something more than just forgiveness of sins. He wants to give us the power of His eternal Spirit in our life. And don't you know that when we come to the judgment, won't that be something when our spirit already witnesses with that Spirit of God that we come to at the judgment? And how, what a blessing that will be. And so, really the thought that I want to come to this morning, and I know I've been very lengthy putting this foundation in, but in 2 Corinthians 2 and 15 and 16, the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. But I will tell you what, it's not alive and powerful in every life, but it can be. And so this morning, Paul wrote here, he said, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" You know, this morning, that word sweet savor, it means fragrance. When you go back to the Greek, that's what it says. Fragrance. It says good scentedness. Strong's the word just savor, because it uses both sweet savor and savor. And that's important to our reading here. The word savor says fragrance. It doesn't say sweet fragrance. It says fragrance, odor or savor. Do you know, this morning, Paul wrote here and he said, "To one, we are the savor of death unto death." Do you know that when the Word of God is preached to those that believe and those that give themselves to it and love the things of God, it becomes eternal life. The Lord gives us a new birth, and it becomes life that leads to more life, life unto life, and it grows, and it increases, and it becomes something that we cherish, we dearly cherish, we love in our life. We want only more of that. But do you know that those that believe not, that reject the dealings of Almighty God, and I'm persuaded that the great God is able to speak your language and mine in our hearts. He can reveal to us some things. He can talk to us, can't he? And do you know that when the Word of God comes and we hear it and the Lord speaks to our heart, do you know that it can become the savor of death that leads to more death? Condemnation that leads to a pulling away, that leads to an attack even on those that are trying to live right and living for the Lord. That says, you know, well, they think they're so holy. You know what? When we begin to reject the things of the Lord, it leads only deeper, deeper and deeper. It's death unto death, unto eternal death. Now, who would think, we don't even like to mention the fact that there's eternal torment, that the Scriptures tell us of those things. We don't talk about it real often. But you know what, this morning, this is the choices that God gives us today. Death unto death, or life unto life, eternal bliss, forever in the presence of the Lord. And that is a choice that only you and I can make in our own lives. No one can make it for you. That's something that we have to take. Personally, I believe the Word. I know the conviction that it put on my heart. I know the eternal life that it has given in my soul. And I'm willing to put my whole life on it. Folks, this morning, the Lord wants to give us life that leads and blossoms and blooms into more life. And what is life? Peace. It has joy in it. It has a clean conscience. It's able to stand before the Lord. and not be condemned. You know, those things, the Lord is able to do that for us. But it comes to those that count all His promises, yea and amen. They are so. And so will we believe them this morning? Or shall it be to us a savor that leads to death, eternal death? The ancient Jewish writers had a saying, as the bee brings home honey to its owner, but stings others, so it is with the words of the law. You know, this morning, the words that we read in the book of the word of the Lord is so precious to those that believe. And yet it stings the conscience so when we are rebellious to it and when we take our own way. I want to ask us this morning, what is the word of God to us? It is, to Paul, it was quick. It was alive. It was powerful. It had power in it. It was his life. He chose to give his life and suffer persecution for the word of the Lord because it was so precious to him. But what is it to us today? Is it alive and powerful, or does it sting? Is it something we love to get more of? When we hear revival meeting, do we think, oh yes, Lord, give me all that you have for me. Uncover me. Teach me. Show me myself. Lead me to a closer walk with you. Help me to see any places that the enemy would be taking advantage in any way. Help me to love more. Help me to learn to be a better husband and a better father to my children. Lord, help me to learn to do my job better. You know, this morning, what is it to us today? Is it the savor of life unto more life? And the more we get, the more we grow. The more we grow, the more fruit we produce. And the better things are. This morning, I just want to give us that little challenge today. Will it condemn us to eternal torment? Or will it lift us to heavenly places forever? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What is it to us? Well, that's up to you and me. That's not something that I can preach on you or anything. That's up to you. What is it to you this morning? The commandment, Paul said, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now, why would Paul say that? Because in his former life, before he met Christ, that's what it was. The commandment came. He knew he couldn't live. He knew he wasn't living in that way completely. He found it to be condemnation to him. But after he found the life in Christ Jesus, he looked back on that, such a shallow place. Now I can know him. Now I can give myself to him. Now eternal life can be mine. And so we read over here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, first verse and second verse. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, the good news, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, who is he talking about them? If you look back a few verses, you see they're talking about Moses and that happening back there. Do you know that when it came time for the Lord to give them his best in this life, he said, you come out of there, we'll just go right in there. And you can just take that place and that'll be yours. He was evicting people that had been wicked for generations and become more and more wicked. And he didn't let them just go in. But at the point they were so wicked, he overthrew the people. And the Israelites were able to go in. But they didn't. And why? Why didn't they go in? Why did they not? Why did they choose to walk around in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years? When they could have went in and inhabited houses that they didn't even build. and vineyards that they did not plant, and all the good things that was there. Why did they choose to do that? Well, they didn't know they were choosing that. They thought, we're just not going to go in there. But they didn't realize what they were choosing. Because the choices to us, the consequences are not. We can't control the consequences. We can only control the choice. So this morning, I know this is a little bit of a heavy message, but I feel like the Lord gave it to me. I'll let you be the judge. This morning, folks, the Lord is looking for people that will enter in. He's not looking for people that get saved, and that's the end. He's not taking people, I will tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. Because what He really came for was to take people into the good things of God. He wants to take us into a land like He told them. It's flowing with milk and honey. There's good things all over the place. But you have to enter into that place of full surrender to the Lord. And do you know this morning, God has put that choice before us today. And Paul said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We're talking about a rest from the works of sin, a rest from self, a rest from the enemy that the Lord wants to give us, a real rest that doesn't last a day or a week or 7 days, but it lasts forever. And so He says, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. You know, Moses told them what was ahead. He told them what God had for them. They said, indeed, it is a good land. But to enter into that place, to really do all the will of God, to go in there and meet the giants and all of that, there's no way. I just can't do that. You know what they missed? They missed life. They missed life that would have built upon life. They missed seeing God work. They missed seeing His provision. They missed seeing all the things God wanted. Folks, if we start, but we don't follow through, we are doing ourselves a great disfavor this morning. And I want to encourage us this morning that we give our whole heart to God. And not just want to be forgiven and make heaven our home. But more so than that, we want life in our life. We want eternal life. I want to know the Lord. I want to hear His voice and do. And I thank the Lord for that. I don't boast in that. Folks, I didn't know the Lord. I've heard about the gospel. I thought I was all right and just fine. But I will tell you, when I began to find people that really knew the Lord, it challenged me. And I began to seek for that. And don't you know that when we seek for the Lord, He's seeking for us. And it's not long before we find Him. These promises include a rest to the people of God. And so in Deuteronomy 30 and 11, I want to read some of what we read not long ago. Deuteronomy 30 and 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Listen to what the Lord reasons with these people. It's not hidden and it's not far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. You know, that has always been the case with God. He set before man a choice, because He wanted us to love Him. It could not be love otherwise, really. We choose to love Him. We choose to give ourselves to Him. And we find His love deeper and greater than we ever dreamed. It makes families that love each other. It makes things right in our life. It gives us a heart that is full of the good things of life and of God. That doesn't mean everything in life goes our way. It means that He puts it in our heart. He gives us life in our heart. And so, what verse was I on? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go and to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and good, or life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. For He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. You know, this morning, that same thing is set before this generation. Every generation and every person has to come to grips with this, because God of heaven has decreed it so. He wants us to serve Him, and He wants to serve us. And believe me, He does. And I know it's awful quiet in here this morning. And I know this is a little heavy, but I don't apologize, because, folks, it is the word of the Lord. When we come to the judgment, I don't want to meet you and you say, why didn't you tell me the other side of this thing? I'm telling you the other side this morning. Folks, there's life and there's death. And there's a choice. And there's a great divide between those choices. What are you going to choose this morning? You really going to choose to not believe? Are you really going to choose to live your life in a way that you don't believe? And that you land up at the end meeting God and saying, I'm sorry, I didn't believe. And He's going to say, depart from me to everlasting fire. I never knew you. That's fearful to me. I wouldn't want to make that choice. But I believed early on in my life, and I said, I want to make it. I want to make it all the way in. And so when we come to choices, I try to say in my mind, I don't care what it costs me. If God will help me, I'm going to make it. And I know we depend on the Lord helping us, don't we? It's not something we can do. Just a couple more places here. Joshua 24. Look at this. I love Joshua's, his way. When he was leaving, he had something he wanted to say to the folks. This is 24 and 14 and 15. Now therefore serve the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods. You know, we try to serve the Lord sometimes and serve the world. And that's not possible with God. That doesn't work, and He won't accept that. But He says here, you serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now I want to challenge you this morning to think it through. Folks, we don't want to just float along in life and land up at the judgment one day and say, oh, well, I don't remember hearing about that. The Lord is calling you and me. And He says, choose you this day. You wait till another day and you'll forget. You wait till another time and it'll pass. But I want to tell you, there is a day that the Lord talks to our hearts. That is our day. That is our day when He wakes us up to really choose, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to seek Him until I find Him. I'm going to search for Him. I'm going to give up my life that I might have His life. And I'll tell you what, He has shocked me that His life is far surpassed anything I ever dreamed it was. I thank God for that. Doesn't mean every day's rosy, but I'll tell you what, the Lord gives many good things in His life. And He satisfies the soul. Psalms 119, listen to this, folks, 11 and 12. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. You know, this writer got just a little more in his mind than Your word I've hid in my heart that I don't want to sin against you. But you know, he said, he went a little further and he said, teach me thy statutes. Do you know this morning, Strong says about hid, have I hid, that Greek word there. It means by implication, it means to hide, by implication to hoard or reserve, actually, to lay up privately. The commentator Clark says, the word rendered hid means properly to conceal so that a thing may be secret, private, inaccessible, then to lay up in private, to treasure up, to hoard as money or jewels, commonly hidden from public view. Then it means to lay up in one's heart as a secret, inaccessible place, to hide one's thoughts, purposes, designs, or to lay up knowledge or wisdom in the heart as a treasure. It was there. Though unseen, it constituted the secret power by which he was governed. It was permanently deposited there as the most valuable of his treasures. Isn't that beautiful this morning? You read into the, I said Greek, you read into the Hebrew and you see what was there. And you realize the most valuable. Have we hid the word of the Lord in our heart this morning? Let's do that today. Let's believe that God can do it in our life. The law of the Lord is perfect, folks. Yes, amen. Converting the soul. That means changing something, doesn't it? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise those that don't have much understanding. The simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. And listen to this, rejoicing the heart. That's what the statutes of the Lord do, don't they? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Societies prosper so much when they really are given to the Lord, and so do people this morning. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And that's in Psalm 19, 7 to 11. I want to encourage us this morning, folks. I wouldn't want to bend and twist on people. I want to tell you what you need to do. You need to consider all these things. Weigh them up in your heart. We're not trying to make a speedy decision or something. Although when the Lord deals with us, it's time to make that. But you know what we really want to do? We want to decide in my heart and mind and life. Lord, I want to make it in. I believe. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to seek you. And I ask you to help me get there. And you know what God will do? He'll meet you right there all the way. If we need to pray this morning, here's an altar of prayer. We'll pray with you. The Lord wants this morning to lead us into a life until we have hid His word in our heart. until our whole desire is to do one thing, serve God first. And then we take care of everything else. He tells us to take care of our family. He tells us to take care of our financial obligations. He tells us to work. The word of the Lord is alive and powerful and sharp. You pray for me.